You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
The year is 3129. Mankind is adrift in the stars. Giant spaceships hurtle the last of humanity towards their destiny, whatever it may be. Only one thing can keep them going and power these great ships, will feed the minds and spirits of these people. And that is the last brewing company to survive in the future, Circle Brewing. So great was their product that they indeed became the legendary Earth Brewers. But, you know, it's right now, 2018, or maybe 2019, depending on when you're listening to this. And you can get Circle Brewing right by going into Austin, by stopping into their brewery on Breaker Lane. Or you can get it in convenience stores where there's all sorts of good stuff. Martin, you're from the future. What do you think?
Well, I tell you, Austin is a city with no shortage of breweries. But this is some of the best I've ever had.
Well, there you go. You can't ask somebody who's going to give you a truer thing about beer than Mr. Martin Thomas, because he's an alcoholic.
All right, Giant Little Ones. What does that title have to do with anything in this movie?
I think it's referring to the problems, how they're giant when you're a kid, but they get smaller as you grow up. That's reaching. I admit that's reaching. Please don't put that on the poster. That's probably a misleading.
That's probably a better example than anything I've heard so far. I mean, or better explanation. So,
oh, thank you.
Yeah. No. So yeah, we're talking about this movie, which is a little Canadian drama that came out this year, Giant Little Ones. It's finally making its debut after a couple of festival runs. So I'm Justin over here. We got Bradley over here. How you doing, bud?
Maple Leaf represent.
Woo! We got to have at least one Canadian here. And yeah, we figured that because this is such a unique topic being discussed here, we might need a little bit of a balanced perspective in genders as well. So my lovely wife, Lexi, over here is on. Hey, say hello.
Hello.
It's always good to have a woman on board.
Well, yeah, I guess I have a unique perspective, I guess. So
yeah,
we'll
yeah.
See.
Absolutely.
So this is interesting. Now, this film, I'm not very familiar with the filmmakers behind it. I know that this is their first major film in a while, if I'm reading it correctly. Yeah, no, this is actually their first main feature film since, I want to say, 2002 or something like that. Like they must have done TV shows and documentaries, and this is like their first big leap into feature film production. Yeah, the last one was 2002 with Flower and Garnet, a film I've never ever heard of before.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
No, same here, never heard of it.
No, so this is cool. I mean, this is unique. The person's name, by the way, is Keith Berman. So, Bradley, why don't you set up the stage a little bit? What is this movie's premise? What is this about?
Well, the day is a great day for Frank, who I believe is named Frank because of his blue eyes. But then again, everybody had blue eyes, so I'm not sure.
I thought it was because this movie's just so frank about its topics, but no.
All right. Well, Frank is about to celebrate, I believe, his 16th birthday and getting ready to party like high schoolers do. And his buddy Ballas, that's with a B, I believe. I looked it up and it said
Ballas. Yeah, odd name to name your kid Ballas.
Ballas.
At first I thought he was saying Alice and I was confused. So and then I realized it was Ballas.
Alice could be a... No.
Very interesting name. So Ballas and Frankie are the best of friends. They're both on the swim team. They've known each other since they were kids. And they're going to party hard on this happy occasion. They're like, you know, Sam and Frodo going into the evil Mordor party ring of high school. So as they're drinking and smoking and having a great time, you know, maybe they had a little bit too much to drink. And Ballas and Frank end up back at Frank's place and get incredibly intimate all of a sudden. The Sam and Frodo turn into the Sam and Frodo fanfic, if you know what I mean.
Well, and it's interesting because specifically Ballas is the one who actually goes down on Frank. And we don't, this is something that we don't actually see fully in the film, but it's something
very
that happens,
dark.
It happens very brief.
Lighting, I mean. It's very dark lighting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But it's very brief, and they're both just kind of, they don't know how to process it, you know? Just like, well, what just happened here?
Right.
But and unfortunately...
yes. So they both have pretty girlfriends. The next day, Frank is kind of confused and wants to talk about it. Ballas is trying to avoid it to the point of spreading rumors about Frank. And what ensues is the existential crisis of Frank trying to find out who he is, not just as a sexual being, but as a person. And it's pretty interesting from there.
Yeah, you know, I was surprised because, I mean, I knew this movie was about, you know, kind of a coming of age detail. And then I found out, like, okay, so it's about, you know, it's a coming out drama kind of thing. But I think that's oversimplifying what this movie is trying to do, because it isn't just about coming out. That is a topic that's discussed quite in depth, actually, throughout this movie. But it's not like most, you know, stories about, oh, you're secretly gay, or maybe you're trying to decide what your sexual identity is. It's much more nuanced, almost. I mean, would I be wrong saying that?
Well, I think it has a very straightforward script, but the performances, where Ballas can easily come across as, you know, kind of an asshole, like those stereotypical bullies, you know, like from the Cobra Kai, not the TV show, the old movies. But he's actually, this actor has such a piercing stare and like this vulnerability behind the anger that he presents, that it really elevates the material very much.
Oh yeah, which is this guy here is Derek Mann, who actually is on the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina on Netflix.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And then the main character here is Josh Wiggins, who most people aren't familiar with, but he's in kind of an up-and-coming actor himself through a lot of stuff. Like, even that that one dog movie, Max, that came out a few years back, that was one of his ones he was in. But yeah, he's still very new to the scene.
Yeah, I believe all the young actors are pretty new and up-and-coming, along with the gal that plays Ballas' sister.
Oh, yeah, which, now there's an interesting
Natasha.
Case... Oh, yeah, which the sister who's played by Taylor Hickson, which is an interesting case here. You may not have noticed, Brad, but apparently this girl in a previous movie had a humongous facial disfiguration.
Yeah, there was an accident on set, and so you'd have to look closely, but there's a bit of a scar on her face. But
I see. I wasn't sure if that was real or if that was a part of her character's story.
No, so that is her actual scar, apparently, so, which is very, very brave of her, brave of them to do that, because it's like, yeah, it was an ugly situation with that, but I thought... You know, all these young actors were fantastic in this movie. Like,
yeah, they were great. I think one of my favorite parts, one of my personal favorite scenes was the part where, without going into too much spoiler, but the sister, what was her name again?
Natasha.
Natasha, yeah, when she was discussing a very personal thing with the main character, and it felt very... honestly intimate and quite real in my opinion. You know, it's like, you know, she was very honest about what had happened, and he was very understanding, and to me that was just kind of a bit refreshing to see kind of happen on screen, because, you know, sometimes dialogue can always seem a bit like forced, but like, it felt very natural to me though.
Yeah,
I agree with that for sure.
No, absolutely. And I think that is a lot to the credit, because like you said, Brad, like the script itself could be done very simply, but I feel like Keith Berman has a great grasp on making this feel natural. Like, there's a lot of those moments about, like, you know, the awkward talk with parents, the awkward talk with friends, that kind of stuff. But it's never done in that way that a lot of these kind of coming out dramas deal with them, where they're very like overdone, or they're very like in your face with the messages, or they're very hyperbolic. It's very naturalistic in its own way, I
feel. And it doesn't give you a straight answer on all the problems either, which I also appreciate.
There's a lot of this movie that's left unresolved, but in a way that is not like, oh, they didn't do anything about it. It's like, well, there's just no good answer for those questions.
Sure, like how all of our high school experiences are probably unresolved, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, speaking of parents, though, too, the two biggest actors in this by far, there's the mother for Frank's character, played by Maria Bello, which... Man, can you believe that she's over 50? She just does not age.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
No, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, she's kind of in a thankless role here, where she's kind of playing, like, the cool mom trying to keep it together kind of thing, where she's doing the best she can, but she's easily being overshadowed by Kyle MacLachlan here as the dad, where, now that's a complicated situation, where he apparently, you know, he was part of the family until he decided that he was gay, because he met a guy who he fell in love with, and decided to leave the family. And that's clearly a source of huge contention with all the stuff going on with Frank, because it's like, oh yeah, well, I'm dealing with this, you know, sexual identity confusion on my own, and I'm still not processing this whole situation very well with my dad. And it's kind of interesting how the two of them intersect more the way that they develop in their storyline.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's kind of like a time bomb situation. You don't know if it's going to go off, because the mother, of course, she is incredibly supportive of her son. She loves her son. But a situation in her life where someone is discovering whether they're gay or not literally ruined her marriage. So you can see, and of course Maria Bello is a thespian of thespians here, mm-hmm. that internal struggle, which I really liked, because I've read somewhere that acting is reacting. And a lot of the performances, I think, prove that true, because you can see their, you know, their eyes and their facial features respond to situations rather than giving usual cheesy tagline advice that you hear in these coming of age stories.
Yeah, I agree. My opinion of a lot of the scenes of Kyle MacLachlan, he kind of brought like a lot more to, you know, whatever scene he was in ultimately. And it was really interesting to see his character, you know, interact with like the mother and the son. And as you said, like, he didn't, like, just give, like, cheesy, like, oh, like, you can do it, or he didn't give, like, cheesy one-liners or
you
anything.
Know, be whoever you want. You don't need, you know, assume your identity.
He was just very honest,
No, I mean, and even some of the stuff that they talk to each other, it's, like, very real talk that you expect a dad and a son or a mom and a son to talk about in these kind of situations.
Yeah. Absolutely.
No, I mean, you know, it's funny, like, I feel like there's a lot more I want to say about this movie, because there is a lot of different elements. I don't want to completely spoil it either, but at the same time, I just really have mostly huge praise for this movie. Like, let me just say this. The only things I wasn't crazy about, it did take a little while for this movie to get going, because all the stuff setting up for the birthday, all the stuff setting up with the main characters and the girlfriends and that kind of stuff, it felt like I wasn't sure where this movie was going at first. Like, the instant when the big twist happens in the beginning there, that's when you start to see, oh, this is that kind of movie. But it took a while to get there. I mean, would you agree with that, Brad?
Yeah, say about half an hour maybe. And
It's more like 18 minutes. That's what we checked. But it still it felt long. That's the thing.
It did. Well, the film has this unique style. Whenever there's a scenery change or before an establishing shot, you know, it'll do a close-up of a laundry hamper. And then it'll do a close-up of leaves in the wind, you know, slowly blowing. Then I'll do a close-up of teen's feet, you know, and then what sneakers they have on. And then, bam, we're where we're supposed to be. And that's how it transitions through scenes, I've noticed. I'm not sure what type of style of filmmaking that's called. It's not a critique, or a negative critique at least, but it certainly kind of filled things out to make them seem more slower.
Well, because that's the funny thing is that this movie's actually not very long at all. Especially, I mean, we reviewed this other movie that you'll hear coming up where that movie seems like it would never end.
Oh, man, yeah.
Yeah, but this movie, you know, outside from those moments, it's actually very breezy. You know, it just kind of, you know, flies along
at all points. It feels like, it's breezy, like the wind.
Yeah, exactly.
High school, it's fleeting.
But that's the thing, is like, it does feel like they try to stretch it out a little bit because it's like, yeah, it's so, you know, brief that it feels like they had to find excuses to make it a little bit longer to fit that hour and a half runtime, you know?
It's funny. I actually had an epiphany watching this film. I'm sure you two are going to roll your eyes like, duh.
Brad, we accept you no matter what you decide.
So, I've seen a lot of teen romps, I guess you could call them, where the location is in the high school. And I always wondered growing up, why do all the popular kids play on, like, water polo and the swim team? Or the dive team. I've never known any popular kids like that. And then I'm watching this, and they're all in the locker room, and they're all taking off their shirts. Everybody has abs, pecs, you know, they're wet. And it clicked into my head like, oh, that's why.
Hey, I mean, swimming is great exercise, just to say, so.
Yeah, from the people I knew absolutely. In high school, there was a lot of the people that were in athletics that tended to be a bit more popular. Oh, but they were actually nice, the ones I knew, at least. So they weren't the jerks.
I have some stories about athletic stuff in my experience that are not as pleasant.
Every school is different.
Yeah, and jerks come from all backgrounds, not just athletics.
It's true.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is that this movie, also an underlying current that I actually kind of liked that they addressed, is the idea about how peer pressure in all kinds of forms really affect the way that these people are so confused sexually. You know, it's like, it's not just the inner turmoil that Frankie's dealing with, but the pressure from the homophobes in the school, and even the pressure from the people who are trying to be accepting, where it's like, look, you want to say that I'm gay, I don't know if I'm gay or I'm straight, you know, but you expect me to behave in certain ways because of what you think I did or didn't do because of the rumors.
Yeah, you know? If anything, for me, it felt a little bit hard to watch because, you know, peer pressure and those pressures from school, like, everyone deals with them to some extent, and we can relate to it, and it's kind of hard, like, when they capture it in a way that's, you know, kind of so realistic and so well, it's like, oh, like, to me, I'm watching, I'm like, ooh, we've all dealt with something a little bit like that, where, like, somebody wants to think, you know, that you're one way or another way and put you in a box, and it's never fun to feel like you're being put in a box, you know.
Yeah, especially at that age when you're trying to find your identity and find what makes you special and find out what you're going to do for the rest of your life. And that's usually pushed on by most people. So mix that all in with like raging hormones and you get varying results. And as you said, Alexi, I thought it was a very honest portrayal of that.
Yeah. No, I think that's just a lot of the great stuff about this movie. It's just very honest. It's very straightforward. And again, like you said, there's no good answer. It doesn't have any miraculous, like, oh, I am this, or oh, I know exactly how to solve your problems here. It's just, hey, if they figure it out, they'll figure it out. They'll be in a better place by the end of it, but life goes on after this movie.
Yeah, there's never a, like, straight answer for everything. It's not one size fits all. It's life. It's kind of like life is complex. There's never one good answer sometimes. Sometimes there's multiple answers or no answers, you know?
Yeah. No, so other than that, I mean, I think this movie's actually very well produced for being an indie film, too. It's got great sound quality. It's got great editing. It's got great camera work. I mean, I'm kind of surprised. This guy, for not having done a proper feature film like this for a while, he's got a lot of confidence behind the camera. I mean, would you agree, Brad?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said with those establishing shots earlier, I had no idea this was someone's first film. I mean, not that you can't knock it out of the park with your first film, but from my screener squad experience, that's usually a nightmare.
Yeah, I'm still trying to help Alan find that movie he'll actually like on the screener squad. It's never easy. I know from experience. I'm just saying. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's anything else I can really add to this. I think that this is just a nice surprise. It's a very quiet, well-done, nuanced little indie drama that, again, I feel very awkward with the way that coming-of-age movies are handled these days about sexuality. Because there is that point also when you think about the way that their experimentation is handled. It's like, I mean, if it's – depending on how the context is interpreted, you can say there's some, you know – I don't know. It's one of those very gray areas in the way that it's handled, you know?
And sometimes other like movies or shows can portray it a bit too heavy-handed, in my opinion. Sometimes things that were more subtle than – you realize, or more complex than you realize.
Yeah, but I would much rather take this one that makes me think about the situation than just a, oh, this is exactly what's happening kind of thing, you know? But yeah, anyways, Bradley, what would you say for your final thoughts then?
Well, I could throw in a couple of critiques.
Okay.
You know, can rain on the parade here. No black people existing in Canada? That is not true. So I realize that when they film these things and they're on a low budget, they usually use everyone in town. And crazily enough, everyone just looked like a generic white guy in this.
I mean, I'm sure there's some upper white suburban neighborhood still around there somewhere, but...
Well, it's Vancouver.
It's a big city. You know, hopefully there's a bit more diversity.
Yeah, and they probably shot a location maybe in a neighborhood somewhere. Anyways, I thought that was a little bizarre. Second, it feels like he took a risk at trying to cover absolutely everything. You know, I think the focus was on identity and sexuality, but he also had alcoholism, the themes of sex versus love. He had bullying. He had being rejected, even though you love someone so much. And this was a side character's plot. You know, he had unrequited love like three times. There were three unrequited love relationships. He had someone who was wondering if they should transition or not and how you go about doing that. You know, the early stages of that type of identity.
Which I got to say, that subplot was kind of awkward a little bit. Like, I get what they were trying to do, but there's at least the one major part with that subplot near the end where you're just like, okay.
It's like, it's a little awkward.
That was hilarious. I thought he has a friend named Mouse who, well, we're not really sure what Mouse is, and she's not either. She's kind of exploring of who she wants to be. And that involves, like, I wonder what it would be like to have a penis. That feels right to me, but to make it feel right to me, I should know what a penis is, right? And I thought that was hilarious, you guys, but I could see a ton of people cringing, like, I'm not sure how to respond to this.
Well, it's kind of funny, but even Miriam just like, look, I get if you're curious, but you're asking me to do a lot one after another.
That, you know? That brings on the next thing, the next issue. It tries to cover personal space. It tries to cover divorce. It tries to cover that from the mom's point of view, from the dad's point of view, living in two different houses, visiting parents who broke up under, one could say, horrific circumstances. But you could say that about any divorce. It's juggling like 1,000 balls in the air. I kind of feel like this was a pitch for a sitcom, and they're like, we'll do a movie, and that he didn't want to cut anything out. So, you know, kind of a minor critique, because I actually would like to have delved further into all those issues they brought up, since the acting was so good at it. I mean, the guy that plays Frank, what's his name?
Josh Wiggins.
See, anybody out there who's wondering what a happy Dane DeHaan might look like?
It's true.
So yeah, I hope this kid goes real far. I really enjoyed his performance.
Oh, I thought he was
and
great.
All the yeah, he's very good. Yeah.
So I'm sorry, I went on a huge rant. Am I giving my final thoughts here?
Yeah, no, go ahead. No, hey, that's part of the final thought, just letting it all out there.
Great. So yeah, I've said my piece. Very heartwarming, sad, poignant, scary, just like high school was. And even for the popular jocks you guys out there, it was still scary times for them too. We all have different kind of pressures and demons to face, and I liked how this explored all of those in its own way. I'm gonna give it 7 big puffy couch cushions on a 10-foot couch.
Oh, that was gonna be mine too.
Oh no.
No, that's funny how they addressed that, just like, oh, that's just so gay. It's like, is it gay to have couch cushions? Nah, it was great. I mean, Lexi, what did you think about this?
I had pretty much a lot of similar thoughts as Brad here. Yeah, I thought it felt, you know, like obviously it's still not 100% realistic on every single little thing, but I thought it was a pretty honest portrayal of a lot of difficult topics at that age, and I felt it, you know, did its best to cover some of those, you know, fairly well. And I guess for my rating, since you guys have the fun kind of different out of different sort of things from the movie, I'd say 7 out of 10 glasses of Kyle MacLachlan's wine.
Darn it, that was the other thing I was going to say.
Man, that guy's still intense as ever, huh?
He actually makes his own wine too.
Yeah, no, that's a funny. That was the only thing. Like, yeah. I kept waiting for him to go, like, what was it called again? It's
Pursuit by Bear.
Yeah, Pursuit by Bear. This is a good wine. I wonder who makes it. Yeah. No, I think I like this a little more than you guys did. I do agree with some of the faults that it does try to cover a lot in the movie. But at the same time, I felt like it covered it just enough in a lot of those details. Where it's like, yeah, whatever the central focus is should have the most attention. These other things are just, you know, they're there as flavorings. And it kind of helps define the character more, the way that he handles all these different elements. But yeah, I think it's just well acted. I think it's directed really well for how simple the story actually is when you think about it. And I think that it does a lot with being able to say a lot with saying very little at the same time. You know? Like, there's very few moments where anyone's in any histrionics or any loud emotions or any, like, intense moments kind of thing. It's just very measured. And I think that's a right approach for something that's this complicated and this trying to deal with something that feels very, like, something that you can actually see happen, you know, in these kind of situations.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So if I had to give it a rating, I would give it maybe 8 out of 10 flare gunshots.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, something that you guys hadn't already taken. Nah.
Well, I should have went with the raging hormone thing, but I thought, that's kind of insensitive.
No, I think, so yeah, no, I don't know if it's going to be playing a lot of places, because I'm sure everyone's going to be watching us this week as opposed to this. But
yeah, we are.
Yeah, I know we are.
Yeah,
but
me too.
I mean, if you guys get a chance to see this, I would say, you know, give it a shot. Maybe not rush out to the theater, but if it's playing at like matinee price or something like that, I think this is totally worth
it. It's a good one to go see. I highly recommend it.